The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We're getting Pedro with us today. Pedro has become this man about town with ESPN because the draft is on Thursday, so he is actually working on some Sun stuff, but we will go through baseball. There's this conversation on a couple of fronts about major leagues going to eight divisions with four teams in each division, how this would impact the Diamondbacks. There's also Manny Machado rumors once again to the Diamondbacks. So there's plenty to get to with Pedro. He will join us coming up at 10:20. The turnaround of Paul Goldschmidt, remarkable. Even though they lost last night, Goldschmidt hit another one out. And then this whole competition with what's going on with the starting rotation. Shelby Miller and Robbie Ray are coming back soon. Who is going to go and why are they going to go? I think is a very fair question to have. So plenty to get to with Pedro. And we'll have Talk to the Lopes today, as we do every Wednesday. This week, Shellis Hindman, the head soccer coach, men's soccer coach at GCU. That comes up at 11 o'clock every Wednesday. Talk to the Lopes, our partnership with GCU. Start on somewhat of a sad, serious note last night. Yesterday was just a day. It's just a day where I'm on the air and I have a filling pop while I'm sitting here before I come to you. Like right before, I'm having one of those Gatorade energy chews and I'm just sitting there, crunch, crunch, crunch. Show opens, about to hit, and all of a sudden, and I pull out the chew and there it is. It's just nasty. So I'm doing a show yesterday. The whole time, you guys know how this works. If you've had a tooth that's been bugging you, you're sitting there the whole time trying to talk and focus and, you know, stick your tongue down in that hole, and it's just nasty. So that was unfortunate. And then we had to put down an animal yesterday. So we've had this cat, Gabby, for 21 years. 21 years. And in about the last few weeks, Gabby has started to not act quite as spry. He's developed a tumor. Was, in my opinion, in some pain. And so yesterday I'm in my office and my wife comes in and she said, I think it's time to put Gabby down. When you have four kids, and I'm sure some of you have been in this space before, when you have four kids and you're trying to get to each one of them to let them know that, okay, we're going to have to put down the family pet. Now, in this case, the Sessmatts, for some reason, have turned into a zoo over the years. We've had a cat that was on the roof that was an abandoned cat and the housing meltdown. It was out in the rain. It was raining hard. The house was empty. So I brought him in, thus roof cat. We have an orange and white fluffy cat that was left in a drainage ditch. Daughter brought him home. Thus, we have Frito. Looks like a Frito-Lay chip. Gabby's been there through all of our kids, through I think it's four or five houses, through everything. So I had to put the cat down last night, and man, I've not had to put an animal, a family pet down. It's one thing when the goldfish is upside down or floating in the bottom. That's one thing. It's another when it's someone who's been with you. So I got a little choked up. Kids call me, one from Chicago, one from here in Phoenix. They're all a mess. So I'm trying to handle all of that. And then the whole idea of saying goodbye, that happened last night. It was very difficult. Erica, if you had to put pets down, because you are a rescue dog person.
I have. I've had to put down my parents' pets. I have not yet, knock on wood, had to put down my own dogs.
But yeah.
I know that time is coming probably sooner rather than later, since they're both senior dogs now. They're healthy, knock on wood, but they're not young. They're
your
not
parents'
puppies.
Pets, though, that would be brutal.
Well, I mean, the dogs that I had growing up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's
horrible. But my parents always did that sort of, they kind of just took care of that.
Yeah.
And didn't really, like, I just came home one day and the dog wasn't there. My mom was crying and my dad was kind of just not talking. And I knew, like, oh, okay, I know what happened here.
So. I grew up out in the north part of San Diego County on a farm, like 3-acre ranch. It was just my mom. Dad took off. So it was just my mom and three boys. And what would happen with us when a pet needed to be put down, this may sound somewhat inhumane, but it's living in the country, you just heard the shotgun go off, and that was that. And then you went about your business.
It's pretty inhumane. That's probably more of the new normal out there.
It was like, wow, but that's when you're out in the middle of nowhere. And we were in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know what happened, but I just knew that I had to go dig a hole and build a cross and call it a day.
Great. So. Great. This has been a really happy way to start the show.
This is me today. This is good.
I'm just going to turn off my mic and let you be you.
There you go. So yeah, I had to deal with that last night, and that was difficult. But I did manage to rally and come back around late in the night to watch the baseball game. Some of it. I got up early this morning to watch Ronaldo. So with the World Cup and the USA not playing, and I've seen the Landon Donovan spot, like the outrage towards Landon Donovan, I don't quite get. It's very smart. They had to have known that the minute that he opens up his shirt and he's wearing Mexico gear and it's for Wells Fargo Bank, which needs some positive PR, and it's going to reach the Hispanic market, you just had to know that that there was going to be some backlash because it's not supporting the USA. I like to see greatness. I don't care. I'm never one that booed Kobe when he played. I was never one that booed Jordan when he played. I don't boo. I don't cheer. When I'm in my office early in the morning and I watch Ronaldo, it's, wow, my gosh. 4 minutes in today, he blasts one. And I get it. It's Morocco, but he still blasts one on them. Then the 25th minute, he gets taken down. Looks like somebody shot an arrow through his hamstring, and he's going to have to be taken off, and he's going to have to be amputated. And, of course, after about a minute of rolling around, writhing in pain, he gets up and jogs it off, and then he's back full force. He had a couple of PKs that ended up being blocked. But I thought, by and large, watching him, it's fun. It's exciting. When I'm watching the World Cup, I want to see him out on the pitch. I do. And the World Cup is coming here to the United States. For those of you that don't like soccer, for those of you that hate on soccer, move. Because the World Cup's coming here in 2026. You're not going to be able to get away from it. We're going to have the World Cup in L.A. or in North America and Canada and Mexico, the collective group. We're going to have 2 years later the Olympic Games in L.A. Like, it's going to be a busy. The 2020s are going to be really busy. Really, really busy. And it's fun to watch that. On the draft front, so the story about Greg Popovich, why so many Suns fans are trying to find a way to connect dots, to figure out a way to get Kawhi Leonard here when he has 1 year left on his deal, A. B, give me a good reason. Seriously, give me a good reason as to why the Suns should get to the Spurs and say, let's make a deal to get Kawhi Leonard here. I'm looking at Greg Popovich. He's about to turn 70. His wife just passed away, and he's got to go get on a plane to go sit in front of Kawhi Leonard to beg him to come play basketball. I got to believe that Greg Popovich is saying, what the bleep? At this stage of my career, I've got to come to sit in front of some guy to say, hey, we really want you to stay here. Now, could the Suns be part of a three-way deal in the agency areas when we talk to the agents? There's conversation about the Suns potentially being in a three-way deal. So I want to get into that as the show progresses. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You guys need life insurance. You know it. I know it. We all know it. You've got to protect everything. What if something happens to you? On my way today, I'm driving up here, and there's some nasty-looking accidents. I don't know if those loved ones of those people, where they are, or if they're protected or not. It's for you to look at and for you to decide. Log on, get your free quote. No pressure, no hassle, no waiting. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Outside of the Popovich stuff, Dwight Howard was traded to Charlotte today. That's a who cares deal. That's Charlotte looking at themselves and saying, we're not going to be very good. We can get a big man in here. It'll be a contract down the road that we can get rid of, and we'll have plenty of space. I've heard the Suns attached to Cleveland, of all places, with the Suns and the 16th pick and the Cavaliers looking to move back in the draft. I have heard that on the agent front. So how would that exactly work? Would the Cavaliers take a player that the Suns covet? Suns can't get up there to it. The Suns have some young assets on their roster. They do have the 16th pick. They do have next year's number one. I think that there's going to be some action from the Suns trying to move up. I'm hopeful of that. On the agent front, I'm hearing that that is, in fact, the case. It's not just about the number one pick. At this point, you would think that it's DeAndre Ayton and nobody else. The push of Doncic, the push of Bagley, Like, Eric, we're going to be at the draft tomorrow night. And I think all of us, we've had our meetings here. All of us are collectively saying, let's do the Ayton stuff. Let's get out in front of the Ayton stuff. But have you seen anything at all, heard anything at all, suspect anything at all that would be otherwise tomorrow night? Because you and I both said the day after the lottery, don't screw this up, run up with the pick, and make it DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit nervous, but I did see on Twitter yesterday that DeAndre Ayton is in New York City and he was signing Suns jerseys. Number 13 DeAndre Ayton Suns jerseys.
That's Luke Longley's number. It's retired.
I see what you did there. You're half right. Yes, that number is retired, but not with the last name Longley on the back.
Oh, no. They're going to bring Luke. They had to call Luke for permission.
And poor DeAndre Ayton was getting crushed on Twitter because people said his signature looked like that of a third grader. So that's a good way to start your career before you've even been drafted.
The stuff on social media, too, about Ayton and not leaving a good tip. Have you seen that?
I did. That was attached to one of our tweets yesterday.
That's
it's not good. If true, it's really not good.
But
because
maybe,
things like that get out.
Maybe he doesn't have walking around money.
Have you seen his endorsement deals over the last 72 hours?
Maybe the first check hasn't cleared yet.
He and Marvin Bagley are having no problems adjusting to life as professionals. Wink, wink.
I'm going to talk about Marvin Bagley because his dad was trying to shut down an interview. Of course he is. And the whole thing with Nike, which the dad was given club teams by Nike and funded club teams with Nike. And then he decided to go this way with Puma. So we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show, but Pedro Gomez is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now ESPN baseball analyst, insider, and ESPN versatile reporter extraordinaire, because there's times where Pedro will be standing out front of the Cardinals waiting for Peyton Manning to drive in, and he'll wait. And then there's days where Pedro's got to go down to cover potentially DeAndre Ayton. If it's not DeAndre Ayton, that would be the upset of the century. And then there's all sorts of the baseball stuff, of course, that Pedro is covering. How are you?
I am well, Brad. How about you?
I am excited for tomorrow night. We have not had many instances that we could look at and say, wow, this is going to be a night that we will all remember because they had the number one overall pick because they were horrible for so long. And this better be the very last night that we have a night like this, Pedro. But I cannot guarantee that.
The more important thing, I think, is because clubs have had the number one pick, but there hasn't been the kind of player like DeAndre Ayton available always. Like when Cleveland had the number one pick, I don't know, 14 years ago, LeBron was sitting there. And he was a franchise-changing type of player, as we've come to now know, because he did change the fortunes of that entire franchise. But then there were times that, like, the Warriors had the number one pick, and Joe Smith was the best available option. And that was not the type of pick that was going to alter that franchise. DeAndre Ayton, however, certainly by everything we've seen in the short time that he played at U of A, looks like the type of player that very well could be a franchise-altering player. And that, I think, is why Suns fans are so excited about this possibility of Ayton coming up here.
Are you excited to have a week off from baseball and to go do this story? It's June. June baseball.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's a little interesting. Yeah. It is a little. I mean, yeah. I've still got my hand in baseball all the time.
Right.
Only because that's my primary thing. But it is, you know, just to get a little change of pace every once in a while isn't the worst thing in the world.
So you're going to go down there today and you're going to meet with all the front office people and all that today?
Today, and I'll be back out there tomorrow and possibly Friday. Don't know yet about Friday, but definitely today and tomorrow. And, man, I my next-door neighbor is a huge Suns fan, and he is incredibly excited about this possibility. And he's an ASU guy, but he knows how good Ayton is and can potentially be. I mean, when you hear the names of the comps that he's been put up against,
right?
Guys like David Robinson, Akeem Olajuwon, Kevin Garnett. Look, if he falls into any one of those three categories at 80, 85% of what those guys did, then he is, you know, like I said, a franchise-altering type player.
Yeah, we heard Chris Bosh, too, is another name that some NBA people have been talking about. Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, ESPN reporter, Valley resident. All right, let's switch over to the baseball team. On the national level, did you see the story that Jason Stark put out about realignment of baseball on The Athletic last week? Not to take away from ESPN, but did you see the story on realignment?
He's an ex-ESPNer.
Yeah. 8 divisions, 4 teams. The Diamondbacks would go with the Padres, the Angels, and the Dodgers. That this is going to probably happen. What do you make out of this? Is this a good move? What would the DH look like? Let's talk about this a little bit.
There would be some dominoes that would probably fall. Obviously, adding 2 more clubs. And look, at the end of the day, money does talk. We know that in every facet of life. And when you consider that 20 years ago when the Diamondbacks and Tampa Bay joined, I'm pretty sure the franchise fee was like $135 million. So if you move forward, that was per team just to enter. If you move forward 20 years, that fee has probably jumped to, considering how much more lucrative baseball is today than it was 20 years ago, that fee very well could be $300 to $350 million per. So you're talking about each current major league club getting an infusion of over $20 million one time, and that's going to matter. That's going to matter to the clubs when it comes to adding 2 more clubs into Major League Baseball to make it 32. And of course, 32 is a nice round number because you have 16 clubs on each side. And I know that a round number is 15 and 15, but right now you have interleague play every night, and interleague play has lost certainly its luster from when it first started, because it used to be just a few times a year and everybody could get really excited about it. But now, you know, the Pirates play the Tigers in a 3-game series, and nobody is really, you know, jumping up for joy over something like that. So I would not be surprised. Look, I've talked to people in the commissioner's office for a few years, and this seems like something that is going to happen. And everything I've heard is that Portland will be one of the 2 cities added.
Okay, so if Portland is one of them, and you look at Montreal, you look at Nashville, I look at Las Vegas. Is Las Vegas the future of Tampa Bay? Or there's a lot of buzz out there, Pedro, that with Ken Kendrick and his age and where he is in this space, that down the road, if things don't work out in Phoenix, that could be the Diamondbacks going to Vegas. I'm not going to float that out there as fact. It's just been rumbling around. But Vegas has to factor into this, right?
I think because Vegas is adding 2 professional franchises within a relatively short period of time, you know, you had the NHL coming this year, and you've got the NFL coming in within 2 years once that stadium is finished. I think that Vegas will be used as a chip, but I don't think it's realistic to think you could add 3 franchises to a city that is not, I don't think it would be able to support 3 professional franchises, all of them relatively within a 5 to 7 year span of coming to the city. I think it has to go at a much slower pace, but that's not to rule out that Vegas won't be used as a bargaining chip for teams to try to get something in their current city, which we know that over the course of our lifetime, Brad, has often been the case.
Yep.
So I don't think Vegas would probably work for baseball. It's 81 home games. It's just too much with the Knights there. And the Knights now have a nice stranglehold on that city because they were the first ones there. Look, if baseball had been the first one there, absolutely. Yep. But whoever was first was going to have a stronger foothold.
Have you ever, we're talking about Pedro Gomez, have you ever seen a turnaround like Paul Goldschmidt's, where the dirt was thrown on him. The dirt was just thrown on him. And now it's every night he's hitting the cover off the baseball.
I mean, there is a reason they call it a batting average. It's not just a snapshot. It's not a batting snapshot.
Right.
It is an average over the course of 162-game season. And this is a player that has been an elite player throughout his entire career, really. And to think that all of a sudden he's just going to fall off the table at his age is not realistic. I think that some of it does start to get to be mental, and you start to think, oh, God, I can't make an out. I can't make an out. And, of course, that's when you make outs all the time. And some of it is also timing. I mean, his timing looked way off during, you know, the first 2 months, 2.5 months of the season, and now all of a sudden he looks like a more relaxed hitter at the plate, which is, you know, what's going to happen when you're having some success. But it was just so unbelievable to think that a player of that caliber had all of a sudden stopped. And that's not to say it can't happen, because we've seen it happen in other cases. Sure. But he just seemed like not the right person to fit into that category.
Yeah, and now it looks like everything that he's hitting, it's the old adage, when it comes at you when you're struggling, it looks like a pea. When it comes at you, when it's going well, it looks like a beach ball. And he's just hammering it every time. Shelby Miller and Robbie Ray are close, so who goes? Is it Cook? Is it Godley? Is it Buchholz? Is it about the options? Is it what's going to happen here to the starting rotation? And the Dodgers are just sitting there a game and a half back with half their team on the DL. It's just, it feels like to me it's a matter of time before LA just blows right by the Diamondbacks, but that's just me.
Yes and no. I mean, the Dodgers still have a lot of question marks with their rotation. You know, Kershaw's making a rehab start on Saturday at AAA Oklahoma City, but when he made his last start on May 31st, after 30 days on the DL, you know, I was at that game and he did not look anything remotely close to the Kershaw who was just, you know, almost walking on water in the game for the last 8 years. Right. Fastball was 87, 86. So wow. It's going to be very interesting to see how he looks on Saturday. He was able to talk the front office out of a rehab start, which in retrospect, he obviously could have used. But this time the front office said, no, you need to do a rehab start. We're not throwing you out to a major league game right away. But their rotation is kind of in a shambles. So I don't know that it's necessarily the Dodgers are going to wake up and just start roaring. And I think Shelby Miller and Robbie Ray could absolutely boost the D-backs rotation. Cook probably is the first option to be sent down.
Right.
You know, Buchholz has pitched well enough to stay right now. Godley might be a guy that has to go or move into a different role at this point, possibly. He looked really good the first, you know, 6-8 weeks of the season, but has been much more human lately or not as good as he was. So it's always good to have options. The Dodgers wish they had those options because right now they are scrambling to get a starter every few days. You know, this kid Caleb Ferguson has come up and made a couple of starts for them, and then boom, they send him right back down to Oklahoma City. And you know, those are the type of situations that make me think the Dodgers may not necessarily be ready to put their foot on the gas pedal and just go.
That's interesting. Every few weeks when you and I visit, I ask you about Manny Machado, and I only ask you this time around because now it's been published again, and it's out there on the social scene again that the Diamondbacks are one of the teams kicking around on Manny Machado. I don't doubt for a minute that this general manager could pull the deal off. We saw what he did with J.D. Martinez for essentially a bag of rocks. Manny Machado and the Diamondbacks, update on your end and what you see and what you hear.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Duquette, the general manager of the Orioles, is going to hold on for an absolute top dollar type of return. But it doesn't look like rental players give that top dollar return the way they once used to 5-10 years ago in baseball. Clubs are not nearly as willing to let go of top prospects. They want to hold on to those prospects. They love going to the winter meetings and saying, we've got six guys who are under the age of 21 who are kicking ass for us. They just love to hold on to those. But I've also had a front office executive tell me that prospects will get you fired.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. A prospect is a prospect. He hasn't done anything yet.
Right.
So it's okay to let go of a prospect. But there's so few clubs now, Brad, willing to make a deal. And that's been the biggest change in the front office in the last 3-4 years that these clubs just do not want to let go of their prospects. So having said that, it would not shock me at all if the Orioles don't get something that they believe is of some value, they may just hold on to Machado and say, all right, screw it. We'll just keep him and you guys can fight over him over free agency in the winter.
But do you believe the Diamondbacks are seriously entertaining trying to make this happen with Baltimore? Have you heard any of that?
I think what we know about Ken Kendrick is that Ken Kendrick is ready to zig when everybody else is zagging. He's done it in the past. Whether that was with Zach Greinke when everybody was like, holy cow, what's he doing here? You know, he has been known to say, screw it, I'll open up my checkbook, let's do whatever it takes. You're going to give up maybe a higher level prospect plus some lower level prospects, which that you can do. And I think it makes sense also, Brad, in the sense that if you're the Orioles, you'd rather see him go to the National League where your fans aren't going to see him the rest of the season.
Sure.
And the Orioles are, you know, bottom feeders. I mean, they were the first club to lose 50 games. They were the last club to win their 20th game. They're going absolutely nowhere fast. So they've got to start a rebuilding process. Manny Machado is probably not going to be in their future plans because, you know, everybody knows it's going to be really difficult for Baltimore to re-sign him. And again, you've got an owner in Ken Kendrick who's been known to just roll the dice and say, let's go for it.
Yeah. Well, it's got me interested because I see the logjam at shortstop, so they could include one of those guys. Look, they're sitting here with three guys they may have to send down out of the rotation. There's a young arm, and you have to include a very good prospect somewhere along the way. To say that they couldn't do it, I think is like you said, you just don't know what Ken's going to do. They have the assets here, I do believe. That's the bottom line.
Yes, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time and insight. Thanks.
Brad, we'll talk to you. Take care.
You got it. See you. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, and ESPN reporter. He'll be at the Suns tomorrow night. Speaking of which, after this timeout, we are going to do something a little different tomorrow night around the draft right here on the site that I want to fill you in on. We'll get into that, plus more on the NBA draft. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So tomorrow night, we have got the Suns and the draft coverage. So Eric and Haley and Jordan are all going to be there. I'm going to be here tomorrow night with Edwin and Jared Nielsen. And we're going to do a little pop-up show. These are shows that we see when there's something that is going on. And we're not going to do it much early, if at all. We'll be on social. But we're going to stream it over on Twitter tomorrow night and do some stuff outside of our regular show tomorrow night around 6 o'clock. So just on the social channels, we'll let you know. I'm not going to sit here and do the whole draft start to finish. I want to go through the first pick and the 16th pick and see where things are. And then we'll put a bow on it, wrap it up, and check in and get some reaction, all that stuff. I know the Suns have a later pick as well. So all that will be tomorrow night, and it'll be right here on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I mentioned earlier Dwight Howard was traded to Charlotte. I was wrong on that. He was traded to Brooklyn. Charlotte trading Dwight Howard to Brooklyn for Timothy Mozgov. Timothy Mozgov has had a very nice career. He goes a lot of places, gets a lot of big checks because he's very tall, and that is all that he is from my point of view. So the Hornets clear a lot of cap space with this move, and the Nets get a center who did a nice job last season, but they're the Nets. The idea of Luka Doncic going number one overall tomorrow night rather than DeAndre Ayton, can the Suns stand up, walk out, and look everybody in the eye and say, we decided to go with a player who has been compared to all the young, great guards, small forwards, or we decided to pass on the center that's been compared to David Robinson or Chris Bosh or down the line of big men in DeAndre Ayton? I don't see from a PR standpoint, and that's not how you should make moves. Look, this is not, to me, that difficult of a decision. Ayton, in my view, is a better, more versatile player than Marvin Bagley with what I want to have done. Marvin Bagley and I watched him play more of a stand-up outside guy on the inside. I think he's going to get pushed around some. His camp will disagree. Of course they will. They have it all figured out. Doncic would give the Suns a pretty athletic in this day and age of NBA. You think of Devin Booker and you think of Josh Jackson and you think of Doncic and you think of downtown, that sort of game that you really don't need that big man as used to be in the NBA. So could the Suns go that route? Could the Suns pull the wild card, the rabbit out of the hat, so to speak, and put Doncic out there and get absolutely crushed, except by a handful of people that are of the opinion that Doncic would be the player that should go number one and his familiarity with Igor and so on and so forth. I would say that if the Suns didn't take Ayton tomorrow night, it would be very Phoenix Suns-esque under this ownership. It just would be. We've got it figured out. You do not. Do not tell us how to do our business. Okay, bring Josh Childress in. Knock yourself out. Six coaches in 8 years. Knock yourself out. To me, because Ryan McDonough, if he doesn't take DeAndre Ayton, and even as he is taking DeAndre Ayton tomorrow night, if he does do it, Ryan should be renting. The clock is going to be squarely on him now. It's the number one overall pick, which could be Anthony Bennett. This is not a sure deal. And Ryan should be over on the scouting side. I've made no bones about that. If you screw this up, well, everybody said we should take him. How can I be the one to blame? You're the guy. He should put his house up for rent tomorrow night and just lay low for a couple of years to see if this works out for him. Or in Robert's case, you don't know if Robert's going to pull the plug on him a week into the season. That's what this owner does.
Because you need a good laugh.
Yeah.
Because you had a day yesterday.
I was life. I did have a day, though. You're right.
Did you happen to see ESPN.com's top 10 trades that they'd like to see made?
No.
Okay.
I hate that stuff.
I'll enlighten you. I know. And this is going to make your blood boil. Because but the Suns were listed as one of the teams and suitors for a top 10 trade that ESPN.com would like to see. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. It would be Devin Booker.
Sure.
To Sacramento.
Okay.
For the second overall pick.
Got it.
And former son Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Okay.
Oh, and Jared Dudley would also be in the trade.
Clear cap space.
Yep.
What's wrong with that deal?
So my roommate and I got into a dinner conversation last night about this.
This is why they do these lists, by the way, to put out.
No, I know,
stuff.
I know.
You bit. And you're hook, liner, sinker.
Well, he told me about it. He was the one that told me about it.
Hook,
I didn't
line,
see it.
Sinker.
But I know we're all guilty by association now because we're talking about it. At first,
yeah,
it was beyond ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
And then I kind of started thinking about it.
That's dangerous.
And I'm like, let's see. Devin Booker is going to be owed a ton of money in the next couple of years. Jared Dudley's salary is a gigantic anchor.
No, Jared Dudley's a valuable asset right now in this. And I'm serious about this. It's not anything to do with on the court. It has everything to do with you're going to take his contract and you're going to have a bunch of space when he's gone.
Bogdan Bogdanovic is a good NBA player. He's good.
Former son.
He's a 15-point-a-game scorer.
Yeah, for a cup of coffee.
And you get the second pick. So you could have Doncic, and you could have Ayton, but you'd lose Devin Booker. I say no, don't do it, because the Suns need to stabilize a roster and just let that roster gel. Okay, no one's expecting them to make the playoffs, even when they get DeAndre Ayton.
That's not true. The circles I'm in, it's, oh, this is going to turn everything around. They're going to be
It will turn everything around. It's not going to be next year, though.
See, I think Devin Booker is already out of here. I think this owner has not proven that he is committed to winning. Devin Booker, since he's been drafted, has gone through how many coaches?
Yep.
And I don't care.
And he hasn't said a word. He's just been a good soldier. He's just been a good player, a good guy, a great representative for the franchise, and he hasn't said a word.
The last time I had Scott Bordeaux on, Scott got into me on this whole, well, he's going to make all this money in Phoenix he can't make anywhere else, and he just kind of, you know, like that's the definitive answer. No, it's not. Look at what DeAndre Ayton is doing with Puma. The idea of you cannot go make money elsewhere outside of basketball, come on. Are you kidding yourself? If Devin Booker was traded to the New York Knicks, he'd be 10 times more popular than he is out here in Phoenix on a team that stinks. If he goes to Los Angeles, and that's what's going on with sports in general, okay? Sports in general, the millennial generation, this is not millennial bashing, it's just a fact. They want instant gratification. They see teams being built to go out and win big. Kevin Durant's not going to stay in Oklahoma City. He's going to go to Golden State, be part of a super team. LeBron's not going to stay in Cleveland. He's going to go to Los Angeles. Kawhi wants to come with him. Paul George wants to come with him just so they can go out and win big. The same thing goes on the endorsement circuit. Why am I going to go to a small market when I got everybody telling me that I am the biggest, best thing going on? So I'm not going to go to Phoenix. I'm not going to go to Charlotte. I'm not going to go to Indiana because that's not going to establish my brand the way that I can establish it in New York City, in San Francisco, in a top five market. That's just a fact. The marketing and endorsement side has taken control of this deal. When I see DeAndre Ayton's quote about how he wants to meet Rihanna and cut it up with her, and do he's fun. That's his MO, is he's a fun guy. But to think that he's going to be here for his full career, and give me most athletes, give me a whole list of athletes that have started and finished in any sport with the same team. Even here in Phoenix. You may think Paul Goldschmidt's going to finish with the Diamondbacks. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think Devin Booker is going to finish here. Kobe Bryant started and finished. David Robinson started and finished. But not many players start and finish. They're all going to go chase something bigger. A player gets drafted by Sacramento, they're never going to say, I am so excited to be here in Sacramento. I cannot believe I am here in Sacramento. Then this is the end all of end alls for me. People in Sacramento get pissed about that. It's a fact. So the idea that when Devin Booker hits his free agency, that I'm going to stay here because I've seen a track record of commitment to winning. No, you've seen a team that is committed to losing and losing big just so you could get the number one overall pick. I mean, this is a crucial time for Devin Booker. Crucial time. Because if the team passes on Karl Anthony Towns coming here and Devin Booker wants it to happen, which I believe is the case, when Karl Anthony Towns goes elsewhere, you don't think Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns are going to say, okay, let's finally hook up and let's get together and get after it. Some final thoughts after this timeout. Every week we have Talk to the Lopes, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Talk to the Lopes every week. Shellis and I will talk about the World Cup, GCU's soccer schedule recently being released on the men's side, and much, much more that comes up here in a matter of moments. So the Diamondbacks are off tonight. They play at Pittsburgh, a four-game series against the Pirates. Godley throws tomorrow. I've kind of gotten to the point with Godley of, okay, I'd rather see Robbie Ray or Shelby Miller. Godley is a 5 1/3, maybe into the sixth inning, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, something like that. It's a little bit of Armando Reynoso about Zach Godley, other than he pitches much quicker than Armando ever did. But it's just not what I need to see if this team's going to be able to hang on and hold them off. And obviously, in the next 24 hours, there's going to be a lot of stuff that is out there, kind of like what Eric just threw at me on this Devin Booker to Sacramento thing. There'll be a lot of stuff out there. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun for people to kick around, drink beers, say, yeah. But to me, if there's no chance of it happening, then it's not worth my while. I am not into, hey, let's trade the number one overall pick for Kawhi Leonard when there's not a chance that Kawhi Leonard's, well, what if he did? What if he wanted to come here to Phoenix for, what if we could sign him to an extension? When you use the word we, you're talking as a fan. I'm talking as reality. $126 million, come to Phoenix, win 30, 40 games, or go to LA and be with LeBron and Paul George and get a super team. And you're out there in Southern California anyways. You're training in San Diego. So all this stuff tomorrow, it will be interesting. I don't know if it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. Then the draft itself is tomorrow night. We are not celebrating the fact that the Suns have the number one overall pick. I think that is ludicrous. Hey, it's so great. For the first time in our history, come celebrate with us. No, it means you blew this last year. Nothing to celebrate about that. Our chairman of the board is Edwin Rodriguez. Edwin does a very good job. Eric, as always, senior executive vice president of everything, Eric Sorensen, getting a job well done, too. Up next, it is Talk to the Lopes. Enjoy your day. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. Welcome back. Brad Sussmat with you. This week on Talk to the Lopes, GCU men's soccer coach Shellis Hindman with us to talk about the season that was, to look ahead. Their schedule has just come out. The World Cup is in play. The World Cup has been awarded to the United States, even though the USA isn't playing. I think that's very good for soccer, especially on a college program, for recruiting. So there's plenty to get to with Shellis. How are you, coach?
Hey, I'm doing very well, Brad. How about yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. I'll be honest with you. One eye on World Cup, one eye on you. You know, that's how it is right now. It's the matches going on. What do you think so far of the play of Ronaldo? And he's got to be the golden boot, and how the World Cup's gone.
Yeah, you know what? He's had a brilliant career. And as he continues to get older, he continues to impress everyone. And I think, for me, the biggest surprises, of course, have been Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, beating the previous World Cup champions, Germany, and doing it in such a great fashion. I just think some of the teams that we didn't expect a lot from are really doing well. So I'm excited about next week as well.
Yeah, Landon Donovan getting criticized for rooting for the Mexican team. I'm fine with him doing that. You have to root for somebody. Come on. Where are you at on that one, coach?
You know, I've known Landon since he was 16 years old, and he's a gentleman, and he's probably one of the best players ever played for USA. In fact, he's played in Mexico, you know. And I think what he said was fine. I mean, if your country's not in it, you probably have a favorite second.
Yep.
And I think that was his comment. You know, I'm going to root for Mexico. He didn't say he would root for Mexico over USA. He just said, you know, with USA not in it, I'm going to root for Mexico.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it either. All right, let's get to your team.
I don't either.
So your schedule just came out, and I'm looking at it, and I see UCLA, I see Wisconsin. You're really ramping and ratcheting things up, coach.
Yeah, you know, Brad, I think we made a conscious effort to play the better teams around the country in Division One, and to help ourselves kind of measure what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And we get criticized when we don't beat teams that have been national champions or played extremely high-level soccer, but they didn't do that just in a couple of years. I mean, they've got a real history and a tradition there, and that's what we're trying to do here, to value ourselves and have a good view of where we are, where we're going. You want to play the best teams you can, and we've got a great schedule. I think it might be the best schedule in GCU's history.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a broader brush statement, but it speaks to the athletic director, and it speaks to the president of the university, because it doesn't matter if it's yourself or Andy Stankiewicz or Dan Marley or whoever I have on Talk to the Lopes. Every coach, we get into a conversation about scheduling, and it is, wow, you're really putting together something. So this has got to be a top-down initiative saying, go play the best, go make it work. That's what we want here. We don't want a powder puff, cream puff schedule.
You know, you're absolutely right. When we went Division One, I think the coaches jumped on board through the leadership of President Mueller and Mike Bott, who says, go out and play the teams. You know, we'll mm-hmm. find you go out and recruit the players. We're going to find a way to support you, you know, and then you know, we'll measure ourselves, and we'll get a lot of recognition when we do beat those teams.
In terms of your roster, I was going up and down it. Your recruiting budget had to be a little bit large, given where you landed guys from. I mean, you got your freshman class. I'm like, wow, he is all over the world. Why don't you drop down, you know, how you went about putting this team together?
You know what? It goes back again to the support that we get from President Mueller and the direction of leadership through Mike Voss. You know, they want us to find and compete with the best teams that we can play against. And to do that and to give yourself a chance to win, you've got to get players. And if a player's looking at a UCLA or a player's looking at an Akron or a GCU, they'll probably go to UCLA or to Akron, because we haven't really got to the level where they're looking at us. seriously to say, if I go to GCU, I'll be a professional player down the road. And that's what we want to happen. But we've been all over the place, and I tell you, I give a ton of support to the work that my assistant, Kevin Doyle, has done. I mean, he's on that phone, he's on that video, he's going across the world looking at players, and he's just done an unbelievable job getting us the players. And we're so real excited about these incoming players.
Shels Hyndman with us as we talk GCU men's soccer. As we sit here today, you're about 6 weeks away from your season getting started. What concerns you most about the makeup of your team right now? The other side of it, what are you most pleased about or looking forward to seeing?
You know, I think the concern that we had going through the spring was that we gave up too many goals in the fall. I thought we did a really good job coaching, but, you know, we weren't able to get the players to a point where they were playing consistently, and we were able to shut teams down. So we gave up too many goals, and so we went out and worked really hard trying to find a goalkeeper. And we have the boy George Tesarius coming in from Cyprus. And the interesting thing with George is that he's a 22-year-old freshman because in Cyprus you have to get mandatory military. So he's coming in as an older player, and he's also with the national youth team. Probably could be a professional player if he chose to go down that route. He wants to get his education, and then maybe something here in the States or something back in Europe might open for him. But he's going to be a great addition for us. And then defensively, I'm concerned that we've lost all four starters, you know, through graduation. So we went out and worked very, very hard finding players. Some players will be put in immediately. But I really think that we've found some decent players that will come in. And all spring we worked on defending shape, individual defending.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, losing a player like a Nicky Jackson, who is a tremendous goal scorer for us, we had huge concerns about that. You know, how are you going to bring in a player that has been your leading goal scorer for the last 2 to 3 years? And Nicky's now with Colorado Rapids, the MLS, and he's proving his worth there, scoring goals for them as well. So we worked very hard. We went two different places. We went to a junior college, Southwest Mississippi, and we found a boy named Jaime Deloa. Jaime comes out of Argentina. The interesting thing with Jaime is that he led the nation in junior college scoring goals with 31 last year.
Wow.
So we're really looking forward to see a young man like that come in. And what a lot of people don't realize, he also was a gold medal winner at the Pan American Games in Taekwondo. So he's a, you know, obviously he's versatile, he's athletic, he's got a little bit of mental focus, and I think he's going to be a good addition. Then we picked up another boy out of England, Calvin Kesey, who is an independent school out there, family from Ghana. And coach went over to see him play. And the game he saw him play, he scored 2 goals. So I think that was enough to say we probably need that boy. Yeah. And so he's coming in as a true freshman. The other areas that we were concerned about was you know, how well are we going to do on our fullback position? So we have two returning players, and I think they both – will do a good job for us. Austin Day comes out of about places, Dallas, that I'm very, very familiar with.
Yep.
And he comes out of FC Dallas Academy. Then Alex Ramirez, who's will be a senior. We transferred him into a left back, and he's really done a good job. But I think when you look at our recruiting list, we probably have 10 players. Out of those 10 players, 5 or 6 of them could be on the field. And we'll really have a different look.
That's interesting. All those stories are really interesting on how you found them and put it together. Before I let you out of here, what do you make out of what's going on in Phoenix with Phoenix Rising FC? I know you referred to Rapids earlier. In terms of the pursuit of MLS, have you been out to see them play? And what the benefit is for GCU to have a team aspiring to be MLS in your own backyard?
You know, I think it's fantastic, first of all. I think the ownership and the direction that they're trying to go, they have a plan in place. Yes, I have been out there. It's a nice stadium. It's really a starting position for them. I know they have huge plans of building a big stadium and getting an MLS franchise. there's a lot of teams that are getting opportunities. Nashville just got a team. Cincinnati just got a team.
Right.
So those two teams are coming in. And of course, Florida will probably be coming in here shortly as well. And with the David Beckham team. So I think it's fantastic. I think, Phoenix is a sports city. And we have so many great athletes here, so many great professional teams. I think what they're trying to do out there in Phoenix Rising is to add another professional team that is nationally recognized throughout the country. It's a very competitive environment. A lot of cities want that team.
Right.
I can tell you, when I coached in the league, when Lamar Hunt bought teams, I think it was something like $10 million to get a franchise. Today, it's like $120 million to $150 million.
Right.
And they want you to have a stadium, and they want you to have a youth program. I mean, it is a huge, huge investment. So I really take my hat off to Phoenix Rising for going down this road. The people of Phoenix will be well excited to see an MLS team here, and I support it 100%.
That's good stuff. As always, I appreciate your time and insight. Sounds like you have a lot of exciting things to look forward to this coming season. Thanks, Shellis, for the visit.
You're more than welcome. Best to you, man.
Always good to catch up with Shellis Hindman there, the head coach at Grand Canyon University of Men's Soccer. And that is Talk to the Lopes this week.